Today is Mother's Day, and this may seem like an odd Mother's Day message to give, a warning for mothers, but it is the second in a series of messages based on Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking, for if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. And the series of messages that we're doing are called Warnings from Heaven. And God gives us some very specific and stark warnings that we would do well to pay heed to. And when I started this, I knew that the second of these messages was going to be today. And I said, okay, how am I going to work this all together? Well, all of us need to hear this warning. And I think it is especially true for mothers, that we need to heed a warning that God gives us. But we also need to realize that in every warning that God gives, every warning that comes through the mouth of Jesus, is a warning that comes with a gospel promise. God doesn't simply warn us without also giving us the grace to be able to heed that warning, to be able to respond to his grace. This morning, especially, I'd like to begin and pay a tribute to persecuted moms. Around the world, there are mothers persecuted for their faith and oftentimes estranged from their family because of that faith. And in the passage we will look at today from Matthew chapter 10, the context is persecution. The context of this whole section is persecution. Jesus said in Matthew 10:16, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. And you will be hated for my name's sake. There is persecution when we live for Jesus Christ. Today is a blessed Mother's Day for Asia Bibi, a Christian woman who was sentenced to death in her native Pakistan because of her faith in Jesus Christ. She was reunited with her teenage daughters just this week when she was allowed to leave Pakistan and travel to Canada. Her arrival in Canada brings an end to a case going back 10 years when she, as a young Christian woman, was falsely accused by her Muslim neighbors of insulting the Prophet Muhammad. She languished in prison for 8 years after being sentenced to death in 2010. Then Pakistan's Supreme Court bravely overturned her conviction. There were mobs in the streets after that. The Supreme Court justices of Pakistan received death threats themselves. Such was the uproar that this woman, whose greatest fault was actually offering a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, literally, to her Muslim co-workers and friends. And those co-workers often taunted her about her faith in Jesus Christ, tried to convince her to renounce that and to accept their faith. And because she didn't, because she would say things like, my Jesus is alive, and I will never betray him. I will never forsake him. She would stand for Jesus no matter what, and because of that, her neighbors falsely accused her, and she was taken and beaten, forced to confess falsely by severe beatings, and then sentenced to death until Pakistan's Supreme Court reaffirmed her decision. Death threats continued, and she had to go into hiding with her and her family. Her daughters, weeks ago, were able to make it safely to Canada, and she just Tuesday followed them. A tribute to persecuted moms around the world. In the passage we'll look at today, Jesus tells us to keep him first in everything. In our world today, we may not be in a country where Christians are actively being persecuted or condemned to death, as Asia Bibi was, but still we have to stand firm in our faith in Jesus Christ, willing to suffer that persecution for him. And so we read from Matthew chapter 10, and I'm going to begin with verse 32. Verse 32. And if you don't have a Bible of your own, I'd encourage you to take the one from the pew rack in front of you, and you'll find that page number listed in your bulletin. But we're going to begin with Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. We're going to go towards the end of this passage and then go back towards the beginning of it. Keep Jesus first. Jesus said, "Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." Now, this may seem like a terrible Mother's Day message, but it is the warning that we must all heed of placing Jesus Christ first in our lives no matter what. If you are a Christian in Uzbekistan, and a good friend of mine, John Nordstrom, Pastor John Nordstrom, has been to Uzbekistan there to support missionaries who undercover witness for Jesus Christ in that country, one of the most closed countries on earth. The children of a 70-year-old Christian conspired with local authorities earlier this year to have their mother admitted to a psychiatric hospital because they were not of that faith. She and her husband had came to faith nearly 20 years ago. And over the years, some of their children have repeatedly beaten and harassed them. This woman was held in a psychiatric hospital for several weeks and subjected to a series of injections against her will before finally being released. Pray for her and others like her, Christian moms who, for the sake of the gospel, have been estranged even from their children. Now, when Jesus said he had come to bring not peace but a sword, those words seem awfully strange to our ears. I mean, wasn't this the one whom the angel sang about at his birth? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We have to realize that when Jesus said these words, he was not speaking of the purpose for which he came, because indeed he did come to give peace. First and foremost, the peace of the heart and soul when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, because as it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore we have peace with God, having been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Jesus said to his disciples, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid." He said to his disciples, "In me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I've overcome the world." Jesus has given us peace, the peace of being reconciled to God, our Heavenly Father, the peace that comes that we can experience in the fellowship of believers, but it does not mean that it's going to be a peace as often the world would define it, as simply everybody getting along really nicely. Jesus, I believe, when he spoke those words, I think spoke them with trembling lips. I think he spoke them with a sadness in his heart, because he knew that the message he would bring would be as a sword piercing into their very hearts. And unfortunately, for those who reject that message, it will separate even among families. And this, of course, is a hard message today. But Jesus himself lived through it. When Jesus spoke about his words dividing families, that sword, I think there was some sadness in his voice because he was speaking out of his own experience. In Mark chapter 3, we read that when Jesus went to his home in Capernaum, and the crowd gathered again so that Jesus and his disciples could not even eat, when his family heard about that, they went out to seize him, for they were saying he's out of his mind. His family, his mother and brothers here show that they did not believe in him, and especially in the Gospel of John, it specifically said his brothers did not believe in him. They were going to come and seize him, and mom's got to come make him chicken soup, get that boy nourished again, you know. There was rejection that Jesus experienced from his own family. And a few verses later in Mark 3:31, it says, "And his mother and brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Hey, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you.' And he answered them, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking around at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother.'" Jesus brings us into a new family of believers. He says that also in the passage we're looking at from Matthew chapter 10, that even as Jesus has been persecuted, even so his household will be persecuted. We're part of his household. We are part of his family. And he brings us into that family by faith. Now, it's encouraging also to know that Jesus' mother, Mary, came to truly believe that her son was the Messiah, came to see him not as deranged, but truly as who he said he was, the Son of God. And she was present, of course, one of the few present at the cross. And Jesus, looking at her, did what an oldest son should do at his death, assigned one of his disciples, John, to take charge and to care for his mother from that day on. Jesus did not reject the responsibilities of a son toward his mother. Jesus, in his dying breath, respected his mother and looked after his mother. And so it is not to say that the purpose Jesus came was to divide. No, that was the effect of the message. Can divide, but not necessarily so. And even Jesus' brothers came to faith in Jesus. And James and Jude, two of Jesus' brothers, penned two of the books of the New Testament. Such was their faith in him. And so while faith in Jesus Christ can divide, it can also unite, and we pray that God would do that work in us, to unite us in Jesus Christ. But no matter what, we will put Jesus first. He who confesses me before others, I will confess before my Father in heaven, Jesus said. He who denies me before others, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Keep Jesus first. This past week, the Barna Group, a Christian research organization, published a study saying the powerful effect of a Christian mother in her Christian family. Now, in this particular study, they studied families that were practicing Christians, believers, and they found that the mother, more than any other, had a powerful influence and was the one that the children, whether they're young or teenagers or even adult children, and sometimes even grandchildren, would see that Christian mom as the one that they would go to as a confidant, the one that they would go to provide encouragement, the one that they would go to hear and to learn about God's word and his forgiveness and the gift of eternal life. Mothers have a powerful influence. And Scripture tells us that a mother who has put Jesus Christ first has an even more powerful influence in the lives of her children, even today. We think today that, you know, teenagers don't want to listen to their moms. Well, sometimes it may happen, right? But it's interesting that today's teenagers often have very close relationships with moms. And moms are really, really important to them. And even more so when moms can share this love and faith in Jesus Christ. Put Jesus first. Secondly, do not be controlled by wrong fears. When you're being persecuted, it can cause a tremendous amount of fear. But no matter what, we often operate out of fear and out of the wrong fears. We have to say that fear is actually a good thing. We're so glad when our kids learn to have a healthy fear of heights so they don't just start jumping out of upstairs windows. My little granddaughter, not too long ago, and how old was Eden when she decided she would see if she could fly from the top of her swing set, you know, like about this high up. Little two-year-old, she's three now, right? Oh, Lord, give her a fear of heights. Let her appreciate the fact that you can't just go jumping off of things, right? Kids, you know, will run out into the street until they have a good, healthy fear that those big machines running up and down the streets can have a fatal effect. You don't want to go running in front of one of those things. There are healthy fears in life, but there are things, anxieties, that will debilitate us, things that God says don't fear. And so in this section, beginning with verse 26, it says, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or nothing hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, I say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, for you are worth more than many sparrows." In here, Jesus is saying, yes, there are things that would cause fear. I mean, if someone is going to sentence you to death because of faith in Jesus Christ, you know, that's something that's fearful. But he says instead, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Have a proper fear of God. Have a proper fear that we serve a God who has our eternal destiny in his hands. But Jesus does not want to leave us just hanging there in fear. Fear not. Don't be controlled by fears. If we are controlled by fears, we're going to make the wrong decision. We will make the wrong decisions in life. If we're afraid that our children are going to walk away from us, oftentimes we can be afraid that our children aren't going to grow up to be Christians or aren't going to respect our decisions that we've made in our lives. And we can backpedal and we can decide, maybe I'm just going to kind of downplay this. And Jesus says, don't do that. Stand firm, putting him first. Don't let wrong fears control you. When we stand in Jesus Christ and having a proper fear of God, will have a testimony to share, and our lives themselves will be a testimony. Jesus told us, fear not. Many times the angels show up and tell us, fear not. There's 365 times the Bible says, fear not. One for every day of the year. A promise for every day of the year. Fear not. But finally, instead of being controlled by fear, the Bible tells us to be controlled by love. Indeed, it says, we love because God first loved us. Look at verse 37. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And Jesus is not saying here, don't love your son or daughter. That's the opposite of what he's saying. But make sure that you love Jesus, and it is evident that you love Jesus more than anything else in this world, because Jesus has loved us. He has loved us with all the love of the world, or, well, all the love of the universe. Jesus has loved us. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God manifested, God showed his love to us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us, died for our sin. And so we are to be controlled by love. The Apostle Paul wrote it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us. The love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised again. For our sake Jesus died, and he rose from that dead, conquering death. We don't have to fear even death itself because of that, but we don't need to be controlled out of fear, but out of love, a love that has already been demonstrated by Jesus Christ, a love that now compels us, controls us in a powerful way so that we can love even those who are persecuting us. Jesus told us very particularly to pray for those who persecute you. Pray for your enemies. We are to show love no matter what, no matter how we might be rejected, no matter what response our children may have. We are to continue to reach out and love those around us. Jesus is not saying not to love father or mother. Just don't love them more than you love Jesus. Jesus is not saying not to love son or daughter, but just don't love them more than you love Jesus. Because when we put Jesus first and we're not controlled by our fears, then we're controlled by his love. And his love is a sacrificial love. He demonstrated that for us, and that's the kind of love he wants us to love others with. And when we put our love in the right place, if we are motivated out of our love for Jesus Christ, we're going to love in a powerful, sacrificial, deeply loving way. It's not a feeling of love. It's an action of love. And then finally, find life in Jesus. Jesus ends this section by saying, whoever finds his life will lose it. Huh? If you find your life, you'll lose it? Well, if all we're after is our own comfort, our own desires, we're going to find it slipping from our grasp. But if we are willing to lose our life for Jesus' sake, we're going to find life far more abundant, far more meaningful, and certainly a life that will never end in Jesus. If we let go of our life, we'll find it in Jesus. Again, all of the warnings that Jesus gives are given with a gospel message that is a good news to them. He's not telling us to do something that he is not going to make possible in our lives. He is telling us and warning us against things that, you know, we might feel helpless in the face of. But Jesus said, take heart, I've overcome the world. And I will so work in your life. And my love will so envelop you in your life that you'll be able to go out and love others even as I have loved you. And that's the root of what Jesus said. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And by this all will know that you are my disciples if indeed you love one another. We're called to love. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this special day, Lord, you give a warning to us all to put you first, not to be controlled by wrong fears, to have a right fear of you, but Lord, even not to be controlled by that fear of you, but be controlled by a great love that you have for us. Oh Lord, you love us so much and you want our lives characterized by that love. For you first and for others, Lord. And so Father, on this day, would you bless mothers? They have a tough job to do. Would you bless them? And Father, may they show your love to their offspring, no matter what the circumstances they may face. And as children, Lord, help us to do what you have commanded us in your word, to honor our mothers. No matter what division may be there, no matter what estrangement may have occurred in the past, you've called us to love with a sacrificial love, O Lord. And so, Father, may we do that, no matter what, putting Jesus first in all things. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.